Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord. We lift our heads in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor, Lord. We lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve,
you deserve the glory
and the honor.
You're a faithful God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. What a great God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, mighty Lord. Your name be praised, O Lord. Your name be praised, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. Shalom, shalom, my brother, my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, brother in Christ, brother L.V. Zapata. Thank you, Lord. We are grateful. We are grateful. We are grateful for the opportunity God gives us to share his word, to share his revelation. Thank you, Lord. He does it because he's good. He does it because he loves us. Amen. He prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemy. Thank you, Lord. And we got to be grateful to the Lord for his love and his mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. I receive, hallelujah, a few revelations. Hallelujah. I share as much as I can remember tonight. Thank you, Lord. But I believe one was very powerful. Amen. That I believe it will speak to our life and will help us understand the plan of God for each and one of us, our lives. My brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. It is just so amazing. The Lord is so amazing because as I'm looking at my brothers and sisters in the chat room, hallelujah, I seen some of you in heaven, hallelujah, and the Lord God Almighty can do anything. And we're just going to have to believe him because the moment is approaching, it's close. We are practically in heaven, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The word of the Lord is, it's over. It's over. That's the word of the Lord, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. The bride of Christ is practically in heaven. Heaven awaits the bride. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what other word to use to describe where we are because our feet, as the Lord told me one time, are practically in heaven. You're practically walking in that holy place, holy land, holy territory. My brother and sister, alive, hallelujah, are going into the new life very, very soon. Time, it's over. That's the word, it's over. It's over. That's the word Jesus spoke to me last night, and that's the word I'm going to speak to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. I saw the Lord's judgment coming. In the Lord's judgment that I saw coming, I knew from seeing the judgment that it was a righteous judgment. Not as a judgment that we know, that we have understand over the years. My brother and sister, you notice that I titled this program A Revelation of the Righteous Judgment of God. And that's what he showed me. I saw Jesus coming to bring his judgment upon the earth, my brother and sister. And yes, although destruction came, but everyone on the earth knew it was righteous. It was fair. It was exactly what everyone deserved. No one can say, I don't deserve that, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And without even meditating on this, the Lord is bringing the information to me last night. Because I was telling the Lord, Lord, what am I going to talk about tomorrow? Thank you, Lord. And I'm in prayer with him in my overnight prayer. Thank you, Lord. And he's reminding me of what he has shown me that I had not shared on the Lord's Hour a couple of days ago. Thank you, Lord. He is so good. He is so awesome. Even when we don't remember, he reminds us, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord, that it's a righteous judgment coming. But another thing I was saying to the Lord last night, Lord, look at the things that are happening, the things that are going on. I began to be in concern about certain things, and the Lord says to me, remember that it's all over. He reminded me, it's over. He says, we're living in the last days, the last hours of the last days, before the bride of Christ goes home. We don't want to be burdened with anything too much. There might be a little concern here and there. We got to repent. Got to put it in the Lord's hand, my brother and my sister. Here's why when we look at things, especially about judgment, we need to be careful, my brother and sister. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter 2, my brother and sister. When the Apostle Paul visited the Romans, if you look at the lifestyle, the sinful lifestyle, idolatry, homosexuals, or lesbian lifestyle, you immediately think God should destroy them. That's what will come as a Christian. God should destroy these people. Look what they're doing. But here's what the Apostle Paul says about those people that we think that God should destroy them, my brother and sister. I'm going to read it first from the King James. Hallelujah. And then the word of God Bible. Thank you, Lord. This is what Paul says. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art, who judges. For when thou judgest another, condemn thyself, for thou hast judged that's the same thing. In other words, we are all going to make mistakes. We're going all to sin. He's not saying it's okay to sin. But what he's saying is that we need to be careful in judging other people. Although there will be a judgment for the unrighteous, for the wicked, for the sinful, who are not willing to repent, my brother and sister. But in regard to us as a Christian, this is what God says to us now from the Word of God Bible. No matter who you are, if you judge anyone, you have no excuse. When you judge another person, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same thing. And so what he's saying in here, we are all in this place, sinful place. In one way or another, we're going to sin, my brother and sister. The only one that did not sin on this earth was Jesus. Each and one of us have sinned, my brother and sister. And none of us can say, I have not sinned. Or I don't sin anymore. Because that's why God has given us repentance through Christ. That it doesn't matter how little you think the sin is. Oh, I just told a white lie, some people say. That is still a sin. You don't kill, you don't steal. You're not unfaithful. You do the right things every day, but if you told a white lie, you still sin before the Lord. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Verse 2, we know that God's judgment is right when he condemns people who are doing these things. Paul says, but when you judge people for doing the things, but then do them yourself, then you think you will escape the judgment of God or God's judgment, he says. Do you think you're going to escape it, he says? No. And this is all unless you repent. In other words, God is telling a priest to the people. Yes, they're sinning. They're doing evil. But preach the gospel. Let them come to the Lord and repent. Let people hear the gospel. Let them hear God through his word, his message, and repent, my brother and sisters. Don't say that they're going to go to hell, because that is to bring Christ down, the Bible says. We got to be careful, my brother and sister. Verse 4. Do you have contempt for God, who is very kind to you? Put up with you, deal patiently with you. Don't you realize that it's God's kindness that is trying to lead you to him and change the way you think and act? In most of our life, the problem that we have is the way we think and then the way we act. Shalom, Brother Joseph. My brother and sister, our behavior toward other people is what the problem can be. God is merciful. He's being merciful to us. How is it that we don't want to be merciful to other people is what Paul is saying. And that's not what God wants. God wants each one of us to be merciful to other people, no matter what the condition is, because God can change anyone. God can get a hold of anyone. Sometimes you look at a person who has lost their arm, and then you turn around, they receive the Lord, they get saved, they get cleaned up, and then they're preaching. Are you still going to hold a grudge against them? Because that's what a lot of people do. And God says, no, my brother and sister. Don't judge them. Hallelujah. So you can forgive them if you don't judge. I asked the Lord in heaven a few weeks back, how do I deal with this situation? And the Lord says, love and forgive. Love and forgive. Love and forgive. And as long as you practice that, that's how you deal with it. And that's how Jesus dealt with everyone. He loved his enemy, and he forgave them. Remember when he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do? That was Jesus showing us how to deal with the worst situation. Love them and forgive them. And as long as you pray that, notice that he prayed, Father, forgive them. He was seeking to forgive them. He loved them. Now he's seeking to forgive them, my brother and sister. And you notice that every time we approach any situation this way, it is not easy. Whoever tells you it's easy is a liar. Okay, every day, Jesus said, bring his own trouble. We struggle as a believer. We struggle serving the Lord, keeping his word, keeping his commandment. But there's where the Lord will help us. There's what the Lord comes into place in our lives and say, you're struggling with this. I notice that this is too much for you, but I'm here to help you, my son. I'm here to help you, my daughter. Praise the Lord. So what the Lord wants from each and one of us is to come to him, depend on him, ask him for help, because he will help us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Verse 5, since you are stubborn and don't want to change the way you think or act, you are adding to the anger God will have against you on the day when God will avenge his anger. my brothers and sisters. And there's a day and there's a time. And that day, it's here close. And that time, it's here close. When we are going to see great judgment come upon the earth, my brother and sister, don't you hear God, what God is saying through his prophet? Judgment is at hand. Judgment is at the door. This is the judgment hour that come upon the earth, especially the United States, my brother, my sister. But you notice that even though God is saying judgment is here, can you notice God's love and patience still with the nations? Because according to a lot of people, they should have been destroyed already. But you notice how God's mercy, how God's love is still there at work. His righteous, his judgment, my brother and sister, is coming. But God is being merciful first. He's approaching everything with love and mercy. He's approaching this earth. He's approaching this nation. He's approaching everyone with love and mercy. Some of us come under his love and mercy. Other people are staying outside, and God is still reaching them out with love and mercy, my brother and sister. Because when destruction begins, there will be no going back, my brother and sister. And this is what a lot of people, don't understand, my brother and sister. They think there will be a time when things will go going back to being the same. And there will be no going back. This is it. This is it, God is saying to us, my brothers and sisters. The church is practically in heaven. The bride of Christ is practically in heaven, my brothers and sisters. It will disappear very soon. Beginning a great tribulation is what is expected for this earth. And the moment the bride of Christ is taken out, my brother and sister, 3 days of darkness begin. And this is like a cleansing upon the earth. Demon will be released from the pit. The cleansing will begin. My brother and sister, I saw it. I seen it. I seen the beast walking our street here, next to my house. While we were indoors, there were large beasts with large claws. My brother and sister, walking our neighbors, our neighborhood, going into people's home, breaking into people's home. Whoever they encountered outside, they immediately attacked them and began to kill them. I can hear people while I was inside my house during the 3 days of darkness trying to fight these beasts, my brother and sister. But the beasts overcame them very quickly. Within a few seconds, these beasts trespassed their body with their claw, my brother and sister, with their nail. Some of them got long nail. Some of them look like bear. Some of them look like lion. Some of them look like tigers, my brother and sister, like the beasts of the earth. But that demon, that demonic being, that somehow take those forms. And they attack people, and I heard one of our neighbors call her husband. She was outside her house, and the beast came next to her house, and she tried to stop the beast from coming into her property because she's very protected of her property. And I heard her when she called her husband by name and her brother to come and stop this beast going into her property, but she could not hold this beast back. Out of the sign, as she's fighting this beast and yelling at her husband to come and help, her husband and her brother came outside, like with machete, with stick, whatever they had in the kitchen and their homes. They ran outside, and they confronted this large beast, my brother and sister. And they began to fight this beast. And this beast, within a few minutes, already killed them with their machete on their hands, my brother and sister. Whatever weapon they had, it was insignificant. And they're fighting these beasts. And I can see the shadow of the beast. I can hear my neighbors that are next to my house, my brother and sister. But the beast overcame them quickly. They were done. That's it. They were killed by the beast, my brother and sister.
the beast just move on to the next home. And across the street, the same, to my front, to my right, to my left, these beasts were going into people's home. But I was in prayer. I kept praying to the Lord for his protection. I kept asking the Lord to protect my family and I. And the beast, for some reason, my house had a hedge of protection. My brother and sister, like Job, and they could not come into my house. They knew. I noticed that the beast knew and understand that I was a believer and that my trust was in the Lord and that they could not come into my house. My brother and sister. But as time went by, Shalom, Sister Wendy, as time passed, I noticed like on the second day of the 3 days of darkness, the beast who had killed his entire family with the mother, father, and children and brother, the beast uttered a sign. They changed into these children, my neighbor's children, and they came by my house, by my door, not too close, though, because my house has a hedge of protection that they could not pass through. And they began to call my children by names. My brother insisted. The beast was calling my children by name as if they were my neighbor's children who they played with sometimes. And my little girl wanted to run to the door, to open the door. And immediately, I'm telling my wife, do not let her open the door. No, no. And we were like, no, you stay there. You don't move. You don't go to the door. You don't open the door. My brother insisted. These 3 days of darkness are close. They're very close, my brother insisted. So as they beasts were killing people around my neighborhood, my brother and sister, we were protected as long as we stay in our house. And God had told us not to look out the windows, to cover our windows, stay indoor, stay in prayer. This is when you want to call the Lord and all his angels to be around you, to come around you, to be, hallelujah, in your house with you, around your house. Make sure you ask the Lord that do not let anomalies knock on your door or come close to your house. Make sure you ask the Lord to put a hedge of protection, my brother and sister. After that revelation, Jesus came to me. And the Lord was standing in front of me in the spirit. I was standing there. He had taken me out of my body. Jesus was standing in front of me a few weeks back after that. And the Lord began to explain to me the 3 days of darkness. I didn't know much of it. I had heard different prophets about the 3 days of darkness, but I felt like I needed more information from the Lord. So I have been praying to the Lord to give me more. Then Jesus came to me to explain to me the 3 days of darkness. He began to explain it like he does. He is perfect, and he is wisdom, and his wisdom surpasses everything, my brother and sister. He began to tell me that the 3 days of darkness is like a cleansing upon the earth. And that not many people will pass through the 3 days of darkness. And that this has been the purpose of God. It's like a filter, a water filter. When you filter the water, to try to explain it to you, whatever you don't want to drink in your water or cook with the water, you want it to be filtered away. That's kind of how the Lord began to explain it to me and began to show me people that will not pass through the 3 days of darkness. And God meant it, he says to me, from the beginning to be in this way. This is when I was like, wow. Wow. Notice that in Egypt was the same thing. When the angel of death came and killed the firstborn, it did not kill anyone of God's people in Egypt. As long as they put the blood, which means the blood of Jesus, representing the blood of Jesus on the doorpost, the angel of death could not enter their home. But under Egyptian's home, the scream, the crying for their family that the angel of death was killing, all kinds of evil was released. The children of Israel, Moses and them, did not see. They only said the angel of death. That was it. But the evil that was released on the earth for those 3 days, three nights, my brother and sister, was horrible. Horrible. Undescribable. There are things that when you read the word of God, you'll say, wow, that is amazing. Amazing. But I tell you, these 3 days of darkness, we need to be ready to be in with the Lord and stay close with the Lord, because big changes are coming. My brother and sister, he showed me his righteous judgment. It was totally different than what I tell and what I heard from preacher, what Jesus was showing to me this week. My brother and sister, Romans 2:5, since you are stubborn and don't want to change the way you think or act, this is the word of God Bible, you are adding to the anger that God will have against you in the day when God vent his anger. At that time, God will reveal his decision are fair. He will pay all people back for what they have done. He will give everlasting life to those who search for glory, honor, and immortality. Okay, by perishing and doing what is good. By persisting and doing what is good. Persisting and doing what is good. But he will bring anger, fury on those who in selfish pride refuse to believe the truth and who follow what is wrong. There will be suffering and distress for everyone who does evil, for Jew first and Greek as well. But there will be glory and honor and peace for every person who does what is good, for Jew first and Greek as well. God does not play favorite. Here's the reason. Whosoever sins without having the law of Moses teaching will still be condemned to destruction. Whosoever have this law from God and sin will still be judged by them. People who merely listen to the law of Moses teaching don't have God approval. Rather, people who do what the law demands will have God approval. Verse 13. For example, whenever non-Jewish who don't have the law of Moses teaching do by the nature the things that the law contain, they are a law to themselves, even though they don't have any of this law. They show that some requirement found in Moses teaching are written in the heart. The conscience speak to them, the thoughts accuse them, and occasion defend them on another. This happens as they face the day when God, through Christ Jesus, will judge people, secret thoughts. He will use the good news that I'm spreading to you, that I'm spreading to make the judgment. He will use the good news that I'm spreading to make the judgment process. Verse 17. You call yourself a Jew, really? And the law and Moses teaching, brag about your God. Know that he wants and distinguish right from wrong because you've been taught Moses teaching. You are confident that in the guide and the guide for the blind, a lie in those in darkness, instruction of ignorant people, and teacher of children, because you have the full content of knowledge in the truth of Moses teaching. As you teach each other, are failing to teach yourself. If you spread against stealing, you are stealing. If you tell others not to commit adultery, and you're committing adultery, as you treat idol and you're robbing temple. As you brag about the law of Moses in your teaching, you are dishonoring God by ignoring the law. As scripture said, God's name is cursed among the nation because of you. For an example, circumcision is violable if you follow the law of Moses teaching. If you don't follow the law, your circumcision amounts to uncircumcision. So if any man does what the law demands, won't he be considered circumcised even if he is uncircumcised? The uncircumcised man who carry out what the law say will condemn you for not following them. He will condemn you in spite of the fact they're circumcised, have the law in writing. A person is not a Jew because he appear or not circumcised of the matter how the body works. Rather, a person is a Jew inwardly. Circumcision is something that happens in a person's heart. Circumcision is spiritual, not just a written law. The person's praise will come from God, not from people. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So it's serving God with your heart sincerely, walking by faith, in other words, not by the law, but by faith. We are saved through grace in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, my brother and sister. And as long as we're serving God through Christ and serving him wholeheartedly, this is what God is seeking from each and one of us, is what Paul was saying, my brother and sister. God is merciful. God wants to save everyone. Does everyone wants to be saved? This is where the matter comes. Hallelujah. That still God is allowing people to make their own choice, my brother and sister. God is allowing people to make their own choice. He's not making them for them, but they gave them the opportunity to repent. Revelation 16:1. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, come, go your ways, and put out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Notice the command of God now. Something here is different. Judgment, God is appointing to this earth, my brother and sister. He's commanding his angel to bring his judgment. But first you hear that the Lord, my brother and sister, let me go back here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 6, and I saw the Lamb open the seal. I heard as it was the noise of thunder and the four living beings saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. He that sat upon him had a bow and a crown was given unto him. And he went from conquering to conquering. I keep telling people this is the Lord. It begins with the Lord. Why? Because he is the beginning. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. It begins with him. Nothing begins without Jesus. That's why John 1 says that everything was made through him. Nothing that was made could not be made, but it was only made through him. Everything begins with him, for him. Someone was sharing a dream the other day, and they saw the Lord's coming. Saw that the Lord was here already to bring his judgment, my brother and sister. Saw that the Lord was here to bring his judgment. And that made sense when I heard it. That made total sense. He is the beginning, and he is the end. Before any judgment began, Jesus has to come, my brother and sister, hallelujah, and brings it, okay? That's why it was taught to John, come and see, when the Lamb opened the seal, and I heard of it was the noise of thunder, and the four living beings saying, come and see, my brother and sister, that voice of thunder, the Lord himself, that is him given the order. That is him in control. As he has said, I'm in control. He is beginning this judgment upon the earth, my brother and sister. I saw the Lord this week. He was coming with great judgment in himself. Out of him was coming out lightning, flashes of lightning and thundering. And it was like covering the entire earth, my brother and sister. As all this lightning and thundering was coming upon the earth, I knew in my spirit as I see the Lord coming, I'm standing there. The Lord had me standing here down here and looking at him to the cloud. I see his glory coming. I can see Jesus in all his glory and power coming. Lightning, thundering, and power coming out of his presence, my brothers and sisters. I saw he was bringing total judgment upon the earth. Earthquakes, tsunami, my brothers and sisters, he was bringing all that with him to release it upon this earth, my brother and sister. When he began to release his judgment, everyone on the earth who began to experience this judgment, the weather began to be crazy like we never seen before, like in the days of Noah, when the rain began to come down. It was so powerful, my brother and sister, that escaping it was almost impossible. I believe that some of the people that will escape the judgment when he comes will be to give him a chance to repent, to give him a chance to turn to God. If anyone is alive when he begins his judgment, I'm seeing the Lord standing in the cloud, releasing his judgment upon the earth, to the four corners of the earth. No one on the earth can escape his judgment. People were running from here, trying to escape the judgment, but they could not. So everywhere they turn, to everywhere they run, the judgment of the Lord was there, mightily and powerful, lightning, tsunami, thundering. But this is not, as we know, this was much greater, with much power. Because this was judgment. It's coming upon the earth, and there are people perishing under the judgment. The people that are seeing the judgment coming down, I can hear them say, the Lord allowed me to hear them say, this was just. They knew we had done evil. We have been so wicked, people were saying. This is righteous. This is just. We deserve this. People were saying to one another, we deserve this. They knew this was coming from the Lord God Almighty, that this was the judgment of God. They knew it. God has spoken this to me before in another revelation, that Father says to me that when his judgment comes, they will know it's my judgment. I'm the one bringing it. And as the Lord brought this judgment, everyone knew it was God. This was not like extraterrestrial. This was not like the government of Russia or China. No, this was God. This was God. Everyone knew this was God bringing his judgment upon the earth, my brother and sister. He was standing there and just releasing his judgment upon the earth to the four corner, my brother and sister. As he had warned the nations, as he has warned the people, as he has said through his prophets so many times, time and time again. This had not been a year. This had not been a season when the Lord had not raised millions of prophets and servants, visions, dreams, by the millions he's been given from the beginning. Millions of dreams and visions to the elder, to the younger, to the old, about the judgment he was bringing, about the destruction he was bringing, about the end of the earth, he was putting an end to the earth. He said he will destroy all things. He has been speaking these things, my brother and sister, through so many of his servants. There are people that don't want to hear it anymore. There are people that just want them to start. But his judgments are righteous. They're fair. He's not just going to begin to destroy the righteous with the wicked. He must remove his bride out of the way. His bride will be removed out of the way first. The righteous will be saved first. Remember the prayer of Abraham in Genesis 18:19? Will thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Let the judge of all the earth, of all, not do such a thing, Abraham prayed. And that's exactly how it's going to be. He's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. I don't know how they say, based on the prayer of Abraham, how can they say that the church will have to stay here during the Great Tribulation? No, she will not. There will be a church raised during the Great Tribulation. That is totally different. If someone had a dream, seeing a church raising during the Great Tribulation, That is not as the same as a church that is going home before the Great Tribulation. They are a believer going home before the Great Tribulation, and they are a believer that's going to be taken off from the Great Tribulation as they're being beheaded. Yes, there will be a remnant left behind, as the Lord also showed me at the end of the 7 year. Remember the dream God's given me? God took me there. There was a remnant left behind. I was there waiting. It was 7 years already into the Great Tribulation. And people were asking me, Brother Elvy, you said that the Great Tribulation was only going to be 7 years, Brother Elvy. What's going on? We've been counting the year. I saw a brother who had a boar inside his home. And that boar was counting the days and months of the year. From the beginning, when the church went home, the rapture, all the way to the end of the 7 year. And the boar was completed 7 years there. And they said, Brother Elvy, you said that the Great Tribulation was only going to be 7 years, Brother Elvy. How come we're already into the 7 year and the Lord had not returned yet? And that's when I said back to them again, you need to read the book of Daniel again. And you need to count the days. Because you first get, we talked about this, 42 months. But in the second counting of the months, we get a few weeks into it. My brother and sister, extra days. Remember when God told Noah to go into the ark? When you read Genesis 7, God gave them extra days. So Noah preached the gospel for 120 years, but there were extra days. The church somehow is also getting extra days, my brother and sister, extra days. So the 7 year comes, and then you got to wait for those extra weeks. And that's what I told them. I reminded them, but you guys are ignoring the extra days. What extra days? See, and this is the thing. When we study God's word, my brother and sister, we need to study it careful and even pray about it. Always pray about it. Always pray about it to the Lord for more. And in this case, I will use the Amplified Bible. Notice that it's okay to use the Amplified Bible here because they already have the day put together. And the first count, according to the Amplified Bible, you get 1,290 days. That's the first half of the Great Tribulation. And the second count, you get 1,335 days. My brother and sister, notice that on the second count, you're getting more. You're getting more days, my brother and sister. So when you add on 1,290 days, plus 1,335 days, what do you get? 2,625. Notice that there is an extra days there that has been ignored, my brother and sisters. Okay? We cannot ignore them because you get those extra days. And so if you're, those that will stay behind in the Great Tribulation will start counting from the first day of the Great Tribulation, and they'll count that first year 12 months, and they'll go to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and they get into the seventh, they're going to look and say, oh, wait a minute. It's already 7 years. What's going on? Keep in mind those extra days. From 1,290 days to 1,335, from 90 to that 35 is what? That's 45 days, I believe it is. 45 days extra. That's about a month and a half. Okay, that's about a month and a half extra. And that will be 6 more weeks to wait. And that's exactly what we waited for. As I was there waiting with them, telling them, please follow those extra days. Count those extra days. Because people were desperate already. Okay, notice how people that are waiting for the rapture now are thinking that the Lord is taking too long. But if they go back to the prophets and study what the prophet said, about the days, the day that will be given to God's people, and the day that they will be standing, like when the children of Israel were in Babylon, 70 weeks were given, which it was actually over 70 years that they were there, my brother and sister. Notice how weeks and years, Daniel says weeks, but there were years there, 70 years down in Babylon, my brother and sister. Isn't that incredible, the time, how everything is related? But as you study it, you notice that there's always that extra, like in the times of Noah. But we are right now very close. Like someone saw the clock in heaven, and the clock was already right there where it needed to be. That it was zero time. And then you said, well, if it's zero time, okay, some people, zero time, like time to us is 1 second, 1 minute, but if you see it at 1 second, you also got millisecond. Do you count the millisecond if you see 1 second? In the spiritual realm, time, everything counts, including the millisecond. To us, a millisecond is nothing, but in the spiritual realm can be days, even months. So if you say, well, I saw it at zero, are you counting the millisecond? Because the millisecond counts also, my brother insisted. So the time that you don't see is there. It's just that in the spiritual time, remember that time is counted as God. To God one day is like 1,000 years. Let's say we have 30 milliseconds for the time to run out. You may think 30 milliseconds is nothing. What? In the spiritual realm, that can be days and months, my brother and sister. I don't say years, but that can be days and months. So there are things that we're not counting. But in reality, it's there. Yes, it's there. God can see it. We don't see it. Unless you have a watch that can count the millisecond, you're probably counting the minutes and then the hour. And you say an hour and 15 minutes. However you look at it, it's totally different than seeing the millisecond. There are milliseconds there, my brother and sister, that are counting. Amen? So, again, thank you, Lord. Leviticus 19:15. In regard to the righteous judgment, you shall do not unrighteous in judgment. Thou shalt not no respect for person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Notice that God wants us to approach our neighbors, my brothers and sisters, never thinking any less of the person. In another word, because if you do, then you're judging them incorrectly and righteously. And God will never do that with anyone. God will never judge us unrighteously, my brother and sister. And neither wants us to do the same, because we are to be like Christ, his son. We are made in his image, my brother and sister. Why did God ask us to do it this way? Because we are made in his image, in his likeness. And everything that Christ is, because we're made in his image and likeness, God wants each and one of us to be. Christ is holy, we should be holy. Christ is righteous, we should be righteous. You see what I'm saying? Christ is obedient to the Father, we should be obedient to the Father. Christ only seeks to do the will of the Father, we should also seek to do the will of the Father, not our own. How did Jesus approach in Gethsemane the trouble? Father, not my will, but thy will be done. See? And he said, when thou pray to thy Father in heaven, how do you pray? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See what I'm saying? Christ is like that in approaching the Father. And we need to be the same in order to honor God, our Father. Deuteronomy 4:8. When a nation is so great that he has a statue in judgment, so righteousness and all the law which I set before you this day. So as a nation, we shall also apply righteousness in every law we practice in the land, in every matter, in any case in court. Hallelujah. It should be righteous judgment, fair judgment. my brother and sister, which is not happening in our nations. And this is why we're seeing cases in court today that we're like, how did this happening? How did this get in the way, my brother and sister? How are they getting away with that? Okay? But it's because it's been happening so for so long. The law being bended, broken, my brother and sister. And that's the problem. And that is what is not pleasing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. It says in Deuteronomy 25:1, if there be a controversy between men and they that come into judgment, that the judge may judge them, then shall they justify the righteousness and condemn the wicked. But if this really be in practice in our court system today, no. In our earthly court, is this being practiced? No. And this is a problem, because then it's not being pleasing unto the Lord. Our court system is not being pleasing unto the Lord. I have so much unrighteousness that is going on, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. God have mercy. Thank you, Lord. Job 34:5, for Jah has said, I am righteous, and God has taken away my judgment. Notice how Job's friends are accusing Job of saying that he was righteous. And it's because Job looked to keep God's commandment and was applying into his life every day. So Job can say, this is how I walk. This is how I live. And immediately they're pointing finger to Job and say, well, wait a minute. They're looking for fault when there was none, because Job was seeking to be obedient. Although we will make mistakes, but as long as we seek to be obedient and repent, we're coming under the blood of Jesus, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 1:5. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinner in the congregations of the righteous. But now what's going on in our court system today? The ungodly, my brother and sister, are standing in our court system and getting away with wickedness and evil, my brother and sister. Even the voice of being justified. See, when the voice was given was for unfaithfulness. Now the voice is being given for silly things. And judges in the court, especially in the United States, are saying okay and giving out the voice. No, my brother and sisters. They're making up their own laws they go about, when God has already established his law. Psalm 1:8-9. And he should judge the world with righteousness, and he should minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Notice how Jesus is going to run his kingdom, his millennium kingdom. How he's going to judge the earth? With righteousness. He is the righteous judge. He's bringing righteousness to the earth, to every single matter. Every matter will be investigated, and it will be treated with righteousness. No one will get any favor. It's just the way he's a righteous judge, my brother and sister. Psalm 19:9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are truth and righteous all together, my brother and sister. And that's the way it should be, and that's the way it's going to stay on the earth. When the Lord establishes his kingdom in Jerusalem, on the new earth, new Jerusalem, it will be all run by righteousness. The law that will be applied will be right in righteous law, my brother and sister. Psalm 33:5. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And this is what people are going to see on the new earth. Because right now people are thinking, where is all that goodness? There's still goodness and mercy of the Lord, because he has not destroyed everything yet. But on the new earth, we're going to see that fullness manifest. Because in our glorified body, we'll be able to discern and see everything that the Lord is going to make. His righteousness will be obvious to us every day. We'll see it, and we'll delight in his righteousness. We'll delight in his law, my brother and sister. It was told to Israel to delight in the law of the Lord. But we will delight in the law of the Lord in the millennium, my brother and sister. We will praise him for his righteous law. We will praise him for his mercy, because every case will be dealt righteously, my brother and sister. Psalm 36:6, thy righteousness is like the great mountain. Thy judgment are the great deep, O Lord. Thou preserve man and beast. Notice how when there is unrighteousness, man and beast are not preserved. And this is exactly what's going on in our earth today. There are laws being passed, like abortion. 62 million since 1973 in America babies, abortion baby has been killed. That, my brothers and sisters, is over 1 million children per year that have been killed in the United States. That is a lot of babies. God is going to demand the blood of the children, those lives, from our society. And that great day, my brothers and sisters, thy righteousness is like the great mountain. Thy judgment is a great deep, O Lord. Thou preserve men and beasts. His righteousness is law. It is to preserve us. It will preserve men, and it will preserve beasts. Every animal will be preserved. People are not just going to kill animals because they feel like it. They're not going to run their cart over a cat or dog because they feel like it. Because that they will know that that doesn't please the Lord. And they're going to have to answer to the Lord. If you're driving your car in the millennium and you run it over a cat or a dog, you're going to be in trouble with the Lord. As if you do it here, you will also have to give the Lord an answer. Every single man and every single beast is accounted by the Lord. Look what it says, O Lord, thou preserve man and beasts. Beasts include all the animal. All the animal, my brother and sister. Cat, dog, bird. We should not kill them. If you're driving and you see a bird heading your way, you should try to avoid it safely. Or if you see a cat or a dog crossing, you should stop and let them cross safely. My brother and sister, you should have a care for them. Because notice how God is telling us he cares for them. He cared for them. A sister wrote to me a few months ago, and her beloved dog had passed away, my brother and sister. And she was telling me about this dog. It was the Lord's dog, how much she loved her dog and all that. Sent me a photo of the dog. Her name is Ginger, my brother and sister. And I was like, wow, okay. Seeing the photo of Ginger, how loving she looked in her photo. My brother and sister, the Lord brings me to heaven, bring me to this place. I saw Ginger next to the sofa, like a recliner. I saw Jesus sitting on the sofa, my brother and sister. And he was petting Ginger. And Ginger was there, loving unto Jesus. Jesus loving unto Ginger, my brother and sister. At this time, I'm stunned. I didn't know he cared so much about dog, animal. But he was showing me there, this is my Ginger. This is my beloved dog that I love, the dog of my daughter on the earth. And I'm looking at the Lord, and I'm looking at the dog. They are looking at Ginger, my brother and sister, preserved by the Lord, preserved by him. In another occasion, he bring me to the third heaven, third planet. There was this place with all the animals were there. There were pig, goat. They were my brother and sister, cats, dog, all kinds of animals that the people love to have. The Lord had them there because they belong to his people. This is when I saw my two cats that's been killed a year before, my tabbies. And they were there, my brother and sister. They talk back to me because animals in that place talk back to you. And I'm looking at my dog, my cat, I'm sorry, and looking at all the dog's animal there. They were talking, the animal were talking among each other. The goat, the dog, the cat, the bird, they were talking with one another. They were having a normal conversation, as we humans do when we come together. They were getting along fine. The dog was not attacking the cat. The cat was not attacking the bird. No, they were all getting along happy. God is preserving them in this wonderful place. None of them are harmed. None of them are injured. They're being loved by God, my brother and sister. Who would have thought that our great God loves animals so much? But it says that the righteousness is like a great mountain. The judgment are great deep. O Lord, thou preserve man and beast, he says. You see, he preserved men and beasts. None of them are going to be harmed in his holy mountain. I remember taking to the millennium, and I went to see this sister. She had wanted me to see her house for somehow. She had asked the Lord, when you bring Brother Obi to the millennium, will you bring him to see my home? I'm like, okay. And I remember the Lord taking me there. The Lord had me walk to her house in the millennium. And when I walked to her house, there was a two gate. I'm calling her, sister, sister, here, Brother Elvie. I knew she was home in the millennium because this is the future. To come, near to come. And she came out, opened her gate. And immediately I saw zebra, all kinds of animal, giraffe running out of her back, the back of the house. She had these animals, her pet, zebra, giraffe, all kinds of animal, friendly. As God said through the prophet Isaiah, nothing will harm in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Okay, incredible, my brother and sister. How God is planning to preserve man and beast, as he says. Thank you, Lord. It says in Psalm 37, 6, this is how the millennium is going to be. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, in thy judgment as the noon day. Oh, the God has great plan for us. Do our Father, do our Lord has great plan for each and one of us. We're going to enjoy the earth again. We're going to praise him in the noon day. We're going to praise him at all time in the millennium. I'm so grateful we're going to be for his love and mercy. Hallelujah. Look what you're going to see when you go see Jesus in Jerusalem. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speak of wisdom. His tongue talk of judgment. That's how you're going to hear coming out of Jesus. My brother and sister, wisdom. You're going to love his wisdom in the millennium. You're going to hear him speaking. And you will know that he is wisdom. I remember when the Lord took me to heaven, I saw wisdom. And wisdom was Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Psalm 72:1, give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. His son is going to reign in judgment for 1,000 years, in righteousness. Righteousness and justice for 1,000 years. Is that going to be awesome? Hallelujah. It's going to be awesome. The millennium is going to be awesome. Psalm 72:2. Then shall he judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. Thank you, Lord. He's an awesome God, the God that we serve. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 94:15. Where judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. We will follow the Lord. We will follow his righteousness because it will be in our heart. That's why his commandment is being written in our heart and in our mind. In our minds so we can remember, and in our hearts so we will love them. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my Lord. My God. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. Psalm 97:2. I seen the cloud of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Cloud and darkness are around about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. Yes, that cloud is around his throne. But it's surrounded with righteousness in the habitation of his throne. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 99:4. The king strengthened also love judgment. Thou that establish equity, thou execute judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Thank you, Lord. He loves Jacob. He loves Israel. Please continue to pray for the peace of Israel, my brother and sister, because the Lord loves Israel very much. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 103:6. The Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Thank you, Lord. My brother and sister, I didn't want to bring you fear tonight. I want you to see the Lord's righteousness and have hope for it. Yes, I talk about the beast and the 3 days of darkness. So that's coming, and that cannot be ignored. But the Lord's righteousness, love is for all of us. We are getting ready for the Lord. The world is under destruction, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 106:3, blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that does righteousness in all time. In all time, God wants us to practice righteousness. Do the right thing. Look forward to doing right, always. Although things look difficult and impossible, and there's so much wickedness going on, to us, we need to do right. We need to do the right things. Make the right decision for the Lord, because we are servant of the Most High, and he has chosen us to do his will. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 119:7, I will praise thee without righteousness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteousness judgment. Notice that the righteousness goes into our heart and will help us to practice judgment, righteous, to do the right thing. When the time comes, as the Lord showed me the other day, I was going through something. And I was saying, Lord, why does it seem so hard, it's so difficult for me to do this? What is coming out of all this that we're going through, Lord? And the Lord showed me, we have no idea what he's doing in our lives. But when the time comes, his righteousness in us will be seen. We will make the right decision. He's working in our lives. He's working in our heart, preparing us as the bride that is going to shine, that is going to do his will, that will be ready, my brother and sister, when he calls us, when he uses us in the last revival. That what he's doing in us right now doesn't seem fair a lot of the time, doesn't seem right, but he's working his will in our heart and life. And certain things seem very difficult to us. But he was showing me, he was letting me know that we're going to be surprised of the outcome, because he knows exactly what he's doing in our lives. It doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem like some people think God is not making any progress with them, because the tests and trials are too hard, they think. And they're ignoring the power of God. They're ignoring what God can do. And God is doing something amazing on them, but they cannot see it. It's a diamond God working in their heart, but they cannot see the diamond yet. But when the Lord is done with them, everyone will see her, a glorious bride, is what they're going to see. And you'll look at yourself in the mirror in heaven, and you say, whoa, whoa. You'll be surprised at the work of the Lord, the Holy Spirit in you, and what God can do. You don't see it now. To you, it's like, oh, this test, oh, this trial. I don't know how much of this I can take anymore. God's going to give you as much as he thinks you need. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. But what he's working in your life, what he's doing in you, you cannot see it now. It never meant for you to see it yet. Never meant for anyone to see it yet, what God is doing in your life. But it will be shown. The day is coming. Heaven. That in that day, great day. Some people call it great day. It's going to be shown the work God is doing in your life. And you're going to be amazed. Because none of the things you're thinking right now make sense to you. But when God shows you the final masterpiece, your life, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed. I got into trial and testing that I had to say, oh, Lord, what is going on? And when the Lord took me to heaven and showed me what he's doing in us, I have no word. Cannot describe what he's doing in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Psalm 119:62. Listen, we're in the midnight hour. I want you to listen to this. The church right now is in the midnight hour, about to be going home. Psalm 119:62. At midnight, I will rise to give you thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. When God shows you what he's doing in your life, you will give him thanks. You will give him thanks. At midnight, this is the hour, Psalm 19:62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of the righteous judgment. You see, the righteous, even in the book of Psalms, right where we are, at the time that we're going to give God thanks for what he's doing in our life, Psalm 119:62. Remember, brother, God revealed to him that everything about this life, most everything, is in Psalm 119. God has given him a powerful revelation about Psalm 119. And he sat down with us years ago and began to share some of the things he's seen. He says, people don't have no idea what is in Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible, and it's full of information for us, full of revelation. Psalm 119:62. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. This is when we thank the Lord, because this is when we rise. This is the rapture. This rise is a rapture. At midnight I will rise. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of the righteous judgment. This is when you see yourself in the Lord in heaven at midnight. And you said, oh Lord, what is that? And the Lord said, that is you, my son. That is you, my daughter. And that's when you thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done in my life. At midnight, remember, at midnight, the rapture happened at midnight. We are at the midnight hour right now. We're about to thank the Lord for what he has done in our lives. Isn't that incredible? Psalm 119:62. Remember that, midnight is when we give him thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The rapture in the book of Psalm, my brother and sister, Psalm 119:106. I have sworn in an oath, I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgment. Oh, thank you, Lord. Tell you, Psalm 119 is incredible. Some people have missed the blessing of learning of God through Psalm 119. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, upright of thy judgment. Isn't that incredible? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 119:160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endure forever. Notice why the righteous of the Lord in our lives is very important, because that's exactly what the Lord and the Holy Spirit are working in us. Righteousness. Righteousness is being right with God, standing right with him. But in order for us to stand right, remember, to the one on the right, the parable, come and enter to thy throne of my Father. But to the one on the left, he cast into the fire. My brother and sister, what God is doing in us right is removing the wrong. Everything that belongs to the left, the little minor things that are in our lives that belong to the left, are being removed so we can have a right standing, righteousness, right standing with God, the right to stand with God in other words, the right to stand with God. And that's what the blood of Jesus is doing when we repent. That's what God is doing through the blood of Jesus in our life, removing the things that are not pleasing to him, the foul language, the anger, the desire to take vengeance, getting angry all the time. All that God is removing, and much more. The things that we like that are not pleasing to the Lord are being removed, my brother and sister, because we're being prepared for a new life in God, in Christ. My brother, a new beginning. That's why we're a new creature. That's why we're getting a new body. We're getting a new body, my brother and sister, because the Lord is bringing it into heaven very soon. The Lord says to me last night, as I came to him complaining, he reminded me and said, remember, it's all over. It's all over, he says. He reminded me that it's all over. It's all over. So our life is about to be indifferent. Don't focus on the temporal things. Focus on the eternal things. It's easy to focus on the temporal things, my brother and sister. And many that are focusing on the temporal things soon will find out, staying behind in the great tribulation, that they made the wrong choices. The right choice is Christ right now and his righteousness. That's the right choice right now. Christ and his righteousness. Being in daily repenting, seeking the Lord. That's the right choice. If people refuse to do that and do something else, they'll find themselves in the great tribulation wondering, how come? 2 mornings ago, the Lord Jesus was coming with all his glory and power, with judgment for this earth in his hand. He began to release his judgment upon the earth. And when the judgment began to come down, earthquakes and tsunami, powerful, like I never seen before. They were destroying the earth. The earth was being shaken with violence out of the power that was coming out of Jesus. And people on the earth immediately knew that everything the Lord was bringing upon them was righteous judgment, was fair, was exactly what they deserved. My brother and sister, the Lord allowed me to hear what they were saying. And they were saying, we deserve this. We deserve this for the wicked and evil we have done. And this is what the nations are standing today. The judgment the Lord is about to bring, they deserve it. And God told me they will know it from God. And that's what I will see. God will show himself through his creation. As it says in the book of Rome, that from the beginning, the manifested things of God has been revealed through his creation. Now he's going to show himself to what he's bringing upon the earth, and people will see him and will know it was him. He's not keeping himself hidden like many people think, but they will see him, my brother and sister. Psalm 119:164, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment, says David. 7 times a day. He praised the Lord. What an example that is. 7 times a day. Remember Jesus? So many occasions, he had that miracle and healing. And his disciples turned around looking for the Lord. He was spending time with the Father, my brother and sister. I wonder if he did it 7 times a day. Says he had 7 times a day. And I know that David said this, but I know the Lord also kept it because that's his word. My brother and sister, that's why so many times he disappeared. 7 times a day, I will praise thee, he says. My Lord, my God. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 2:9. What is wisdom? Remember Solomon teaches us about wisdom. Then shall thou understand righteousness. In judgment and equity, yea, every good path. My brother and sister, the Lord is the one that help us understand righteousness. That's why we got to seek the Lord. With all of thy heart, not leaning on our own understanding, says wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 8:20, I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the power of judgment, the Lord is speaking there. He leads. You want the Lord to lead you? He'll lead you in the way of righteousness. Righteousness, right standing with God. All the things that belong to the left, not supposed to be in us, are being removed. All sin, all doubt, and no unbelief. When the Lord is done with you and I, we're not going to have any more doubt. We're not going to have any more unbelief. Those things will be done away. He is working in us right now. It's like when you have a computer and you're cleaning out your recycle bin. When you hit your recycle bin to being clean, everything gets removed. Right now, we're like the recycle bin. God is removing everything from us that is not of him, that is not pleasing to him, my brother and sister. And we will be totally cleansed. The blood of Jesus cleansed us from all unrighteousness. The only thing that time is not given to us, when the blood cleanses us, my brother and sister, hallelujah, is cleansing us. Thank you, Lord. The priests, when they went into the Holy of Holies, they offered a sacrifice for a year of sin of the people. I wonder if the blood, when we repent, is doing the same. And it is. Because the sacrifice of the animal that was sacrificed for the sin of the people in the Old Testament, it was for the whole year, my brother and sister. There were others offering a peace that they had to make. So repenting is so important. The Lord said, yes, thank you, Lord. That blood is cleansing us from all unrighteousness. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Oh, he's so awesome. He is so good. Awesome. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:5. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Well, that's what they're doing in our court system today. They are accepting the person of the wicked. Person is saying to the court how they have lied, how they had cheated, and so much more. And the judge is listening to the case. I don't want to name any case, but there's some that are on television that you're watching. They are admitting some of these things that they're doing. And the judge is allowing them to go on and on and on. Like, they're telling you the wrong that they're doing, and the case is still allowed to go on and on and on. The Bible said, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. They're getting away even when they're confessing their sins. The court is allowing them to continue to speak. In the olden day, if you came before the judge and you told the judge that you did this wrong and you did that, the judge would say, be quiet, sit there. I'm making my decision. You're going to jail. Now this day, all that having changed. My brother and sister, my Lord, my God. This is what Solomon saw in his days, Ecclesiastes 3:16. And moreover, I saw under the sun of the place of judgment that wickedness was there. And the place of righteousness, iniquity, was there. This is not the way it's supposed to be. Notice that the devil from the beginning is what he wants to see in our core system, wickedness and iniquity, my brother and sister. And when that happens, people will question the law. That's why the nation is, like someone says, getting ready for riots. And there's going to come a time, and the Lord has shown this to me, in America especially, there's going to be a massive riot in this country, where the whole country, people want to burn it down, as they did in Minnesota, my brother and sister, a few years back. They want to burn the entire country down, and they're going to do so. They're going to burn whatever's standing, okay? Because they are seeing the unrighteousness, the iniquity in the court system, and the police is not going to be enough to stop them. Yes, the army will be released. Yes, there will be martial law. But by the time all that is in place, especially with Biden in office, Obama's in office, it's all going to be destroyed. It's all coming, and we're very close to that. Ask the Lord to protect you and your family. Stay under the shadow of the Almighty, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. Isaiah 121. How faithful city have become a harlot. It was full of judgment, writing the law in it, but now murderers, said the prophet Isaiah. Murderers. Oh, my Lord, my God. Destruction, the Bible says, is coming from the Almighty. It is coming. Hallelujah. God says of Zion, Isaiah 127, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her convert with righteousness. Convert. God knew that people will have to convert. They will have to repent. No other way in order to be in faith. Jesus began his ministry. Repent. Repent, ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand, he says. Hallelujah. Isaiah 5:7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts in the house of Israel, the men of Judah, his pleasant plant. He looked for judgment, and behold, oppression for righteousness. But behold, a cry. A cry. Hallelujah. When there's no judgment, there's the cry. People cry out. My brother and sister. Isaiah 5:16, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. God, who is holy, shall sanctify in righteousness. Thank you, Lord. He's merciful. Isaiah 16:5, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall set upon in truth in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hastening of righteousness. He is good, and his love endures forever. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 26:9, when my soul I desire thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me, I will seek thee early. For with the judgment are on the earth, the inhabitant of the world will learn righteousness. And this is what God wants. As I'm looking at the court system today, what our children are listening and hearing from television is confusing to them. The wickedness and unrighteousness in our court system, in these cases are being put on television, are so evil and so confusing to our children. It's just leaving them with more questions, not understanding the unrighteousness. But God says that when he established righteousness, people will learn righteousness. When he established his judgment, people will learn righteousness. See? My brother and sister, that God knows that right now what's going on in our nation, our children are not learning righteousness. They're learning wickedness and evil. And that's why this generation that are growing up right now are so confused. And so much is happening. My brother and sister, they're going to riot violently like people have no idea. Isaiah 28:17, judgment will also lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Hail shall sweep away the refuse of life, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. The water, we were talking about the people in the bunkers, right? When this tsunami comes, the eastern tsunami will cover Washington, Maryland, all the state. What's going to happen to those that are in bunkers? Are they going to be in safe place? Look what God says. Judgment will also be laid in the line, righteousness of the plummet. The hail shall sweep away the refuse of life, and the water, listen to this, the water will overflow the hiding place. That's the bunkers. Their hiding place right now is their bunkers. God said that the water will overflow the bunkers, my brother and sister. My Lord, my God is everything in the Bible about this life and the life to come. The Lord told me so, that everything is in his word about this life and the life to come. There it is. The water will overflow the hiding place. That's the bunkers. My Lord, my God, he is so awesome. Isaiah 32:1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and prince shall rule in judgment. Oh, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming, my brother and sister. He will reign in righteousness, the Bible says. Jesus is coming. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32:16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness shall remain in the fruitful field. See, when that judgment is in the wilderness and righteousness in the fruitful field, everything is going to work out for the people of God, especially on the new earth. Because God's going to make sure we have everything we need and more, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Isaiah 33:5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwell in the high. He has filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. He's bringing it. God is bringing it. He's bringing his righteousness, my brother and sister. He is bringing it upon his new earth. Thank you, Lord. Now, listen, in case you're afraid of the government or anything else, look what God says, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Listen, no weapon, that's nuclear weapon, missile. I was sharing how the bullet was hitting me in my forehead, my glorified body. During the time, during the revivals, I went out, my glorified body. The shiny sniper was shooting me right between my eyes. And it was less than a mosquito bite, my brother and sister. And I was just removing the bullet from my face. They were not even cutting me or anything in my glorified body. The bullet could not penetrate my new glorified body at all. No weapon formed could stop me from moving around. And I could move faster than any bullet. I mean, you think Superman move fast? I was moving 10 times, 100 times faster than Superman. No bullet can catch up to me, my brother and sister. I was moving really fast in my glorified body. I could remove people. If a sniper were pointing their rifle directly to the people, but when they would shoot the bullet, I could move faster than the bullet and remove the person away before the bullet can hit my brother and sister. And my brothers and sisters could do the same that were with me there. Oh, the day of vengeance of the Lord is coming, and it's beautiful because he's going to give his people a glorified body, a body of glory like the angels in heaven, and we're going to move faster than bullet, faster than missile, the hypersonic missile. We're going to be stronger than nuclear weapon, my brothers and sisters. We can cast a nuclear weapon in the air and throw it in the sea anywhere, or throw it through the sun in anywhere, or throw it to Mars anywhere quickly. My brother, Shalom, Sister Regina, I am telling you, God is going to show his might. He's going to show his power in the days to come. People will marvel at the power of God. Thank you, Lord. There were people saying to us, I remember, how can you guys do this? How can you guys call lightning and it just happened? How can you guys do this and it happens? And we will stand there and we'll say, this is what God promised in his word that he will do. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. And then we will share the Bible verses and we will say, God said he will do this. Remember, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage as a servant of the Lord. The righteousness it is of me, saith the Lord. This is a promise of God to you and I, my brother and sister. This is a promise. And they say to us, I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to do that to you. Don't worry. Don't be concerned. Greater is our God. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the earth. That is he that is with them, my brother and sister. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, shall be able to do us no harm. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shall be condemned. The heritage is what belongs to us that God has given us through Christ Jesus, our Lord, who died on the cross. The servant of the Lord and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. See, he is the one doing it in us. He is the one empowering us to do this. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 56:1. Thus say the Lord, keep ye judgment. Do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. See what I told you before? That right now, things don't seem right. Things are hidden like a diamond in the process of being shaped. And people cannot see. We cannot see what God is doing. But give it a little bit more time. Wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And see what the Lord is going to see. What the Lord is going to show us. Because the Lord showed me 2 mornings ago. Not only were people, not only we will see his glory, but even the unbeliever, my brother and sister, will see him. Okay? Will see him that sat upon the throne. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And wonder about him and know that he's righteous. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. John says, after this I looked, therefore, before me was a door standing upon in heaven, and the voice that I have first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come hither, and I will show you what must take place after this. He says, I was in the spirit, and therefore me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. The one that sat on had the appearance of jasper and ruby. Rainbow is sure like emerald encircled his throne. Why did God show him Jesus this way, like diamonds and ruby? Because you and I are being made in his image. We were made his image and likeness. And we're coming into the new men, new women of God. And Jesus is a precious stone. And we are stone in his hand that are being shaped and formed. Like diamond. The only thing is that you cannot see, no one can see this diamond that the Lord is working in our lives daily through repenting, through his word, through seeking him, through fasting, through prayer. My brother and sister, but you will see. He's talking about the Lord being that precious stone. My brother and sister. But then we are revealing him. So that's why we got to read about him. Thank you, Lord. I'm going there. Thank you, Jesus, to show you what an awesome God we serve. And if you want to understand more about the stone, hallelujah, you got to go read about Jesus. Because he is that stone, my brother and sister. Revelation 4. Thank you, Jesus. Let me read it to you. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. Look at the stone. Okay? Notice he sees two stones, two appearances, and one. He first said that the appearance is of one. But when he looked at it closely, he noticed that he looked like jasper and ruby. My brother, and you'll be like, so John, explain to me, which one is it? Is he jasper or is he ruby? Can you make up your mind, John, and tell me which one is it? Is it ruby? Is it jasper? Because these are two different stones, John. You see, when you know your diamond, and you can tell the difference between jasper and ruby, can you please tell me which of the two it is, John? Because now you're saying like you first saw jasper, now you say you saw ruby. Which one is the other two? Guess what? He is both. Thank you, Lord. Have the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that thrown like an emerald encircled the throne. A rainbow the throne like an emerald encircled the throne. Emerald. This is another stone. Jasper, ruby, and emerald. Which one is it, Brother John? My brother and sister, he is all in all. Surrounding the throne, there were 24 other thrones seated, and there were 24 elders. They were dressed in white, crowned in gold on their head, and from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling. I saw this. I seen this. I seen the rumbling. I seen the trembling. I feel like remember I described like multiple nuclear weapons going off coming out of the throne of Jesus? Oh, he is the God Almighty. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling, and peals of thunders. I see this. And in front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. The seven spirit of God also in the front of the throne. And it was looked like a seat of glass and clear crystal. As a clear crystal. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my brother and sister, my brother and sister. Jesus is the one who was, the one who is, and the one to come. He is coming. He is ready. He is that precious stone. And we are making it, we are being made in his image. And we are a stone. And remember Peter? He called him stone. Because we are, all of us, like Peter, a stone in the hand of God. And God is shaping us. I don't know if you've seen the jeweler, the video online, shaping precious stone for someone. And they take the stone and they give this precious shape to the stone. And only the jeweler who represents God knows the outcome of what he's doing. He's an expert. They've been doing it for 30, 40 years, almost 50 years. They know how to take these stones. And they become so valuable, $5 million, $10 million, $50 million stone. But we're more valuable than that in the hand of God. And we'll be in shape. And that's why when you read Jesus, who looked like a ruby, like a jasper, like an emerald stone, he's all that and more, my brother and sister. And we are making his image and his likenings. God shaped him this way. He is shaped that way because that's the way God wants him to look, ruby, jasper, emerald. We're being shaped in his image and likeness like a precious stone. And he's working in us. But right now, it's like a secret God is doing. That's why the Bible says it will be revealed. That means right now is not revealed who we are in him, but it will be revealed. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 4:2, and thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment and righteousness. Nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. Oh, God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord. This is why we need to be patient in him. Hallelujah. We need to be patient in his hand. You go to the hospital, you become a patient. They lay you on a bed. They connect the IV to your body if you need it. If you need medication, they give it to you. And you need to be patient. You need to let the doctor work in your life, work with your health, whatever you need. Whatever medication the doctor thinks you need, he's going to give it to you. Right now, the Lord knows exactly what we need. We are his patient. Lay down. Take it easy. Let him work in your heart. Let him work in your life. Repent ye, therefore. Let God work in your life. His will be done on earth. We are earth. I said it's in heaven with the angels and everybody else. Thank you, Lord. You think the angels are so beautiful? My brother and sisters, because they're just beautiful? They're beautiful because God made them that way. Brother Larry asked this question of Father one time. And he says, Father told him that when we go to heaven, God creates a new angels. And those angels, he gives it to serve us. And those angels, my brother and sister, whatever we need in our home in heaven, they'll do for us. And especially those that have worked for the Lord. So then the Lord took me to heaven after Larry told me this. And I met this man, great man of God, who walked on the earth for many years with the Lord. We went to heaven. He had four angels. I saw one angel. They looked to me, they were new angels, young. One angel was helping him dress. The other one was getting his clothes ready. The other one making sure everything else was ready. Each had a different task. In this man's home, getting this man ready. He didn't have to do anything. The angel was doing everything for him. My brother and sister, It's because this man served the Lord with all his heart, led many people to Christ, worked in the ministry wholeheartedly. Now in heaven he was being served. And those angels get a reward from God for what they're doing. They're very happy doing what they're doing because they're doing it for God. And everyone who works for God loves God and loves to work for him. No one complains. Everyone is happy. Thank you, Lord. When I saw this, I marveled. When I saw these angels serving this man of God in heaven, and they were doing it for God. They were not just doing it for this man. They served God and love to him and service to God. As Jesus came, the Son of Man not came not to be served, but to serve, Jesus said. Jesus being the great example to the angel and all of us. The Son of Man came not to be served, he says, but to serve. And he came, set all his disciples down, took up water, a towel, and began to wash their feet. And Peter said, Lord, do not this thing to me, Lord. I shall wash thy feet, but yet you're not mine. And he says, Peter, wait a minute. You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Peter did not want Jesus to wash his feet because he's like, Lord, you are God Almighty. You are the Son of God. You reign with God in his right hand in heaven. I don't deserve for you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to come and wash my feet. That's what Peter understood. And the Lord said, Peter, what I'm doing now, you may not understand, but you will later. Serving God. He was serving the Father by washing his disciples' feet. He was showing to the angels in heaven, to all humanity, service to God. He didn't complain, oh, your feet stink, get them out of here. None of that. He washed their feet with love, my brother and sister. Each and one of them washed their feet with love. The disciples of this moment are so touched by him. And are the same question, what is he doing? He is God. He is God. The Bible says, angel came and served him. Can you imagine that? And he's washing their feet. Could you imagine the face of the angels as they see Jesus washing his disciples' feet? My brother and sister, how that touched their heart. Because the angel knows exactly who it is. Men still have a lot of questions about Jesus, but not the angel. They know that Jesus is God Almighty. And that everything is because he is. And that nothing was made without him. Although we have the word, people still question who Jesus is. Nothing was made without him. Understand that. Nothing that is in heaven, nothing in all creation, earth and everything, was made without Jesus. Nothing. What was there? Nothing. Was there any planning? Nothing. Was there any spirit? Nothing. Was there any cloud? Nothing. Well, any water, nothing was made without him. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I know that seems impossible in some people's mind. Nothing was made without him. Nothing. No angel, no Satan, no demon. Nothing was made without him. Nothing. All things was made through him. He is the way I am. When Moses said, when I come to the children of Israel, who do I send sent me? He says, I am that I am. He is all and all, my brother and sister. Nothing was made without him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Jeremiah 9:24. But lay him that glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You need to understand that doing his will, doing what he wants us to do, It says delight in our lives as a believer, as a Christian. You want the Lord to delight in everything you do? Do his will. Thank you, Lord. The delight of the Father in Christ was that his Son did his will. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, my brother and sister. God is good. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 23:5, behold, the day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice on the earth. How did God know that Jesus was going to do this? Because that's exactly what Jesus does in heaven. He executes righteousness. He executes judgment all the time. That is who he is. My brother and sister, the music says, that is who you are. That is who he is. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Hallelujah. The prophet Hosea prophesied and said this about Jesus. Hosea 2:19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, in judgment, in loving kindness, and in mercy. Oh, God Almighty. Father, the light is his Son. Father, the light in Jesus, his Son, because his Son is obedient unto him. When we are obedient like Christ, Father delights in us, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Praise to God. Thank you, Jesus. God help us. Amos 5:24. This is what Brother Amos prophesied. But let judgment run down like water, and righteousness a mighty stream. Yes, that's how the millennium kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to be. It's going to, his righteousness is going to run on the new earth like water, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve. What a good God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Micah 7:9. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. So he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness, says the prophet Micah. God's mercy endure forever. Micah knew he can come to the Lord, and the Lord will be there to help him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome God. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, who have brought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness, and maybe you should be hid in the days of the Lord's anger. Yes, this is his will. This is what he wants. In his 7 years of anger, of indignation, 7 years of great tribulation, he wants to hid us in him, hide us in him. He has a place for us in heaven where the prophet Isaiah said, come into thy chamber until the indignation passes. I've been in that chamber in heaven. The chamber is ready for the bride of Christ. I seen this from the outside. I saw Jesus in one of the great avenues in heaven. There was a great multitude behind him. He was heading to his chamber. Twice I seen this. And the multitude in heaven, the redeemed, was shouting, praising through all the street in heaven, as the Lord was heading to his chamber. Why? Because the wedding of the Lord has come, and his bride has made herself ready. The trumpet, the shofar, my brother and sister, is about to sound. The shofar of the Lord is about to make a great sound. He says, blow the shofar in my holy mountain. Hallelujah. We need to announce to the people that the day of the Lord has come. We are so close to his coming now. The Lord says his judgment is right. It's here. It's about to come. It's about to happen, he says. Hallelujah. His judgments are here, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. John 7:24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge according to righteousness judgment, he says. Hallelujah. John 16:8, when he come, he will reprove the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and concerning judgment. My brother and sister, this is all about to unfold. People will understand that in the days to come, what God has been speaking to his prophet from the roof, they will say, whoa, this is exactly what he has said. This is exactly what he's going to execute. When I saw the Lord 2 mornings ago coming with great judgment in his hand, his glory was upon the earth, and as he was pouring judgment, tsunami, mighty earthquake all over the earth, people on the earth were saying to one another, we deserve his judgment. His judgment of righteous and truth. They all were saying among each other that they deserve what was coming upon them, my brother and sister, because his judgment, as Paul said to the Romans, are righteous. And God said through his prophet, as I'm going to play now, that America, hallelujah, God is bringing his judgment upon her, my brother and sister, that the time has come, and it's here, hallelujah, for the judgment of the Lord to come upon America, because America has turned her back on the Lord. America has become Babylon the Great, and we are among Babylon the Great, but God is saying to all of us, come on from her, my people. So you don't take part in her sin. Because if as long as we are among her doing the same everybody else is doing, we're going to take part in her sins, the Bible says. And God said, come on from her, from among her, my people, that we don't be partaker in her sin.
Sort of the God dashboard for the channel where you will see home, you will see videos, you will see channels, you will see playlists, you will see various things listed at the top. So you can go through this channel several ways. You can go through all the videos, set the filter from oldest to newest, and that is the most comprehensive way. I'm getting more and more feedback from people that God is touching them in their hearts to listen to all the videos here. Now, that's obviously going to be quite an undertaking of work, but it will be well worth your while. By the time you go through all these videos at your own pace, you will have as comprehensive a view as is possible of all the things that the Lord is saying is coming to the nation of America first and then to the rest of the world. So you can do it that way. You can go through all the videos from the oldest to the newest. I personally highly recommend it. And you can also use the playlists. There are playlists where everything is listed by themes. So there's different topics here on the Master's Voice. The Holy Spirit talks on so many topics. But then there are what I would call major themes. These themes, the Lord has been revisiting these themes since I published this blog in 2019. And it's now 2024, February 2024, and the Holy Spirit is still coming back to touch on certain themes, such as Russia and China, such as political changes coming here to the United States in terms of government, how things are done, what the United States is going to look like in the future. There's videos about changes that are coming to U.S. currency, changes that are going to affect the whole world because of a terrible financial crisis that is going to come. There is the supernatural playlist. I think there's 2 or 3 supernatural playlists. One of them is dealing with fallen angels and giants, Nephilim. The other one is dealing with supernatural, unclean hybrid beings called aliens. So I know the aliens are alone in their playlist. And then I think there's also another playlist. But a lot of the videos contained in that can only be found on BitChute, Rumble, and Brighteon because they are part of the 2020 COVID medical prophecies that I had here for, I think, about 2 years. And then because of YouTube's ever-changing policies, I was forced to move them. So I highly recommend that you go through the material. There's also the community page that you will be able to see on the dashboard. And on the community page, when I have time, I update prophecies that are developing, because very few of these prophecies are just going to drop out of the sky and fulfill themselves. Most of them are slow burn prophecies. And if you have understanding, if you are a student of prophecy, you know that God doesn't have a desire to strike and destroy in one blow. This does not mean that God will not bring justice, that God will not bring judgment, that God will not bring punishment. What it means is that to Christians who have understanding and know the character of God, we understand that the time between a prophecy being given and a prophecy being fulfilled is crucial to those listening to the prophecy. That time that you can see represented by my hands here, that time is going to decide what kind of person you're going to be. So the worst kind of person is the person who hears the prophecy and between the time it is given and the time that it is fulfilled does nothing. We're going to discuss those people today for sure. So you hear the prophecy and then either because you're not listening, because you don't want to listen, because you have an opposing view, because you don't like the message or something like that, you hear a prophecy and then you dismiss it. You hear the prophecy and then you doubt it. You say, it doesn't sound like God to me. So these days, this is how we process the word of God. The word of God has to sound like what we think. We have a standard. It's right here. You read this thing regularly and it will tell you exactly what God sounds like. This book is the standard. This is the benchmark for what God sounds like. So God doesn't have to sound like what your grandmother told you, like what your favorite pastor told you, or even what your feelings are telling you. God only has to sound like, please listen, God only has to sound like and match up what's in here. Once we can find what God sounds like in here, then it doesn't really matter if you are even a Christian or not. Things that are going to happen in this world are going to happen to Christians and non-Christians alike. In fact, because of the things that will happen in the world, a lot of people who are not Christian, once they realize that calling out to the empty, nobody's there, nobody's actually answering faiths that they're in, once nobody begins to help those people will rapidly respond to the voice and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that will be going out throughout the whole earth. In times of crisis, in times of bombs, in times of wars, people are still going to be getting saved. And that is going to be a very crucial turning point in history. When bad things are happening on this earth, I can promise and guarantee you, because I've seen it in so many prophetic dreams, and the Lord had spoken about it to me so many times, when terrible, tough things are happening, a lot of people will be coming into the kingdom. And when terrible, tough things are happening, a lot of people will be flowing out of the kingdom. That will be those people who, before, when they heard the prophecy, up until the time the prophecy was fulfilled, they didn't change anything. They didn't change their mindset. They didn't change their heart posture. That is how they deal with God, how they relate to God, how they relate to the Word of God, the house of God. They didn't change their attitude, they didn't change their faith level. There are people who hear the prophecies and believe it, but continue at the same faith level. They literally do not escalate. So they hear that deluge is coming, economic crash is coming, and they do not understand or factor in that between the time the word is given and the time the word is fulfilled, no matter what faith level you're at, you're going to need more faith than you think. You're absolutely not going to be allowed to stay the same and be able to jump the final hurdle. Even if the prophecy starts here, if it starts down here and you hear it, it's going to end up here on a very stressful and difficult high note. And if you think that you're going to bridge the difference, the gap between down here, which is just hearing about it, some people can't handle hearing the things that I talk about. They get palpitations, they get stressed, they get teary, they get shredded, and yet you are only listening to the prophecy. When these things start to happen for real, nobody's bridging this gap by staying the way they're staying. If you have not started to get into the Word of God, if you have not yet made an investment in your own personal Bible, by now, you've been listening to a few messages, you don't own a Bible, you've come from social media, and you think that how you handle the end times is reading the Bible on your phone or an audio Bible. We're all going to have to learn some difficult lessons, and that's all I'll say. If you're a new person, it is very unlikely that you're going to be comfortable with what you hear here, and so please understand that your comfort level is something that you're going to have to work out. You don't have to be comfortable. Those of us who are committed Christians, we know you don't have to be comfortable in Christianity all the time. It is not a picnic all the time. You don't read the Bible and see that the people in there were happy all the time. The people in the Bible got attacked. The people in the Bible dealt with sickness. They dealt with wars. They dealt with the deaths of their children. They dealt with sudden disasters. They also had to constantly deal with being confronted by their own sinfulness and handling God's response to human sinfulness. So this blog is spot on in terms of matching up with Scripture and showing you that this doesn't have to match your feelings, and this doesn't have to be easy for you to digest to be a true work of God. The standard is what I'm talking about in here, is the Lord expressing himself exactly how he expressed himself in times past. And once that thing has been laid, then we're just going to have to fit ourselves around the reality of where we find ourselves. I'm currently in a series, but the Lord has instructed me to take a slight detour, and this detour will be anything but slight. It's going to be not easy for people to hear, but nevertheless, these are themes that are well worn. I've covered them a lot of times. The series that I'm in is related to the exposure of things that are extremely important to the end times. But for now, I'm taking a short break from that series to bring two dreams. And by the grace of God, maybe I'll be able to handle them both tonight. It will be two separate videos, not two dreams. One is a dream, and the other one is a message from the Lord that came on February the 24th, which was yesterday. So before that, the dream from February the 23rd, 2024, and it's simply called A Dream of the New America, The Dream of the New America. And so here's what happened. I've been having the same dream come back, but the frustrating thing is that when there's a lot going on, it's a busy day, or I'm getting to bed too late, what happens is that the Holy Spirit will not be able to connect with me, celestial, to give me the dream. And so there's panels, I guess. People who work with stories, people who work with the movies, you'll understand. We all know what a panel is, actually. We see it in the movies all the time. It's the different scenes. So I've been seeing a panel of me just walking. I'm just walking, walking, walking. But every time I wake up, instantly I wake up, the dream is gone. The dream is gone. And so on the 23rd of February, the dream came back. And it was very clear. And when I woke up, the Lord was talking to me about this dream. So the dream is going to contain the dream itself, as well as all the elements that the Lord was showing me and explaining to me. And the bottom line is, before I start, just so you can understand, America is going to change. If you're an American and you live abroad, then God bless you. You've moved with wisdom. Maybe you left this place in the 80s, or you left this place in the 70s, and it was viable for you at that time. There are quite a few people who have been moving in the last few years. And that is because many people are waking up and they can read the writing on the wall. And so I've always said in the old prophecies that the reason that you can't be upset, for instance, if you are in an income bracket where you can't move, is because this is part of life. I explained this thing since 2019 already. And I was saying that the Lord said, for instance, that shortages will come, that we're going to have problems with access to medical care and things like that. And what is a fact of life? A fact of life is that when you are financially constrained, you can do less. And we all learned that lesson in COVID. The people who had more money bought more stuff, and the people who had less money had less stuff. And the people who had more savings are not getting evicted now in the years after COVID. The people who had more money just kept paying their rent, and the people who didn't got fooled by the stimulus check, They stopped paying their rent. They thought that Daddy Biden was going to carry them forever. And then he did a looky-loo, a switcheroo, and he didn't. And then that's why housing court is constantly stuffed. That's the most backlogged court of any court in the nation. Why? Because there's thousands and tens of thousands of people getting evicted off of that 2020 stuff. Finances play a role. This is life. This is actually how prophecy unfolds. Prophecy is not going to unfold in a vacuum. It's not going to unfold as a mystery. It is going to take place along sometimes very obvious tracks. But that doesn't mean it's not prophecy. The whole point of it is being told about it before it happens. Why? So that whether you have more money or less money, whether you have a disability or not, you can exploit the gap between hearing about it and the day it comes. If you are dealing with financial constraints, you are dealing with socioeconomic problems, you're dealing with health challenges, the gap is God's mercy. People come here all the time and harass or attempt to harass me. Your prophecies are not loving. God loves you enough to warn you about what is coming. If that's not love, if love is not seeing a pothole or in this case a plunging cliff edge in the front and telling you cliff edge, then I don't know what love is. Love warns you. Love will tell you that the protective rails are going to get ripped off. Love will tell you there's a harsh impact up ahead. Strap on and put on your seatbelt. Don't mind your wife who doesn't listen and tells you that the channel is doom and gloom. Don't mind your brother who dismisses it. Or don't mind your mother who listens a little bit, but then she lets her fear get the better of her, and then she says, no, I don't think this is God. It doesn't sound like God. It doesn't matter in the end whether we think it sounds like God or not. The Lord is talking to this country, and all the nations are watching, exactly like they will be watching at our final destruction in Revelation 18. The nations are the witness. They are all tuned in here. All the continents, except perhaps Antarctica, are watching. And the reason the viewership is growing is not because of bedside manner. The viewership is growing because the whole earth, true Christians, even non-Christians, are hungry to know what comes next. This is why people go to psychics. This is why people do their horoscope. This is why people read tarot cards. This is why people are in witchcraft. Humanity has a hole in them that wants to know the future. Prophecy is the only clean vehicle by which God will tell you the future. The only thing is that this is not a future that you can shift or change. Not in this case, not for America. We have a brand new face coming. And the gap is the hope. The gap is the love. The gap is the mercy. And if you don't want it, then there's literally nothing left for you but to stay the same until fulfillment comes, and then you will be destroyed, because what's waiting after fulfillment is certain destruction. That's where the cliff falls away. So if you didn't strap on a parachute before you got to this one, then there's nothing more to say. I dreamt of the new military America that is coming. Something had happened in this country. So I said that I'd been sleeping and the dream was not coming to me, but I finally dreamt. February the 23rd, 2024, I dreamt of the new military America. It was a heavily militarized America, okay? We don't see the military in this country. We do not see them. We watch them when they're performing shock and awe on other countries, when they're at war with other countries outside. That's when all the news channels are making sure that we can see the three missile formation, we can see the ships at sea. This thing is viewed from a distance. It is viewed through a viewfinder. Okay, so it is watch only for us. But America had changed. Something had happened in this country, and it was not a positive something. It was a negative something, and it was a hard impact. Something. God has been talking to me about hard impact for a long time, even before COVID. A hard impact is when something that is already planned, in the case of America, it's already planned. Please don't think that it's organic. Please don't think, oh, it's going to, no. It's already planned. Hard impact is when they plan something and they literally are going to take the vehicle and smash it into the wall at 200 miles per hour. on a day that you don't expect, and you're not going to be wearing a seatbelt unless the Holy Spirit has mercy and warns you. 9/11 was the perfect example of a hard impact. A 9/11 is the kind of thing that America does when they need to reset the country and they need to bypass all of us talking, all of us saying, no, you can't do that, and this amendment and that amendment. And remember, the amendments, when they want to bypass talk, when they want to bypass pushback, when they want to bypass getting impeached and voted out, what happens is that a hard impact is the best way. It's a hard reset. You wipe the computer, you wipe the laptop, you wipe the tablet, and then you start over. And because it's such a shell-shocking experience, the people do not respond in any kind of useful way. And that is what happened to Americans when whatever this thing happened. Something went wrong. There was a shift in the country. And whatever that hard impact was, it shifted all of us immediately into a new lifestyle. I'm not saying that people lost their jobs, or I'm not saying that buildings fell or anything like that. Whatever had happened necessitated a militarized America. I will give the prophecies at the end as the Lord is bringing them to my mind now. Whatever had happened, it necessitated a militarized America. A militarized America means that you're not going to get out of your house and just walk to the end of the street or walk all the way several blocks to the train station and only see people walking their dog and people getting the paper and people doing what they're doing. You're going to see cops everywhere. You're going to see soldiers everywhere, exactly as it was in COVID, except worse. And so something had happened. It shifted us suddenly into a new lifestyle. And that new lifestyle, I'm telling you, there were tanks on the street. So just the way it looks in Yemen, I guess, the way it must have looked in Afghanistan, the way it looked in Iraq with American presence everywhere, heavy on the street. It was like that. There were tanks on the streets and guns, armored vehicles, armed military, and these things were suddenly a part of everyday life. Everywhere in America had experienced the same sudden change. So this is going to be a national thing, not like 9/11. 9/11 was a New York thing that had far-reaching implications throughout the country, Patriot Act and all that. As a result, search and seizure, taking off your shoes at the airport, being searched, you know, and not needing a search warrant, that kind of thing, national security hyped up. All of that is the fruit of the evil tree of 9/11. And please note, because I covered it in the prophecy that is called the Patriot Act, that tree has never stopped bearing fruit. And the Lord says that the tree that bore the Patriot Act will never stop bearing fruit until the old Patriot Act is replaced with a new one that is going to be even more draconian, even more far-reaching, even more putting its hands into your wallet and walking into your house without a search warrant. It's going to be much worse than that. And so that was what that prophecy was about. But all these things, guns and tanks, if you can imagine tanks in the U.S. streets, is going to be a part of everyday life. And the same sudden change had happened everywhere. It was not a localized change. The same change had happened everywhere, whatever that event was. The same response happened across the country. Every part of the United States shifted. And all of a sudden, military presence was visible on our streets on a regular basis. So just a moment, please. So the three-part prophecies that talk about, they're called in quick succession, America in turmoil. In quick succession, America in turmoil, and that's part one, part two, and part three. Part three talks about the deep state and Donald Trump, but part two and part one was talking about a time when America will become highly destabilized because of actions that the government will be taking to usher us into a new life where the military will be a visible part of everyday life. Right now, there's no stable country that has military on the street. It's not a sign of development to be a country that has guns on the street. In fact, every time we see guns on the street, we know that stability and political power is not operating well in that country. Whenever you wake up and you see a coup, you always see the men outside with guns on the street. And that's not a sign that the arms of government are working well. That's a sign of severe instability, severe unrest. Something is wrong in that country. And the proof of that is that you need men with guns on the street to give some kind of order. It's never supposed to be like that. And so soldiers were everywhere, and then they were being backed up by police presence. They were being backed up by police presence, but the soldiers far outnumbered the police. So whatever this was, this response was very well planned. Because one of the things that I saw when the Lord was speaking to me tonight is when he was telling me about the tanks is that I saw, you could say it's a barn, but it's not necessarily a barn. Let's just say it's barn-shaped, and it's not painted red like the stereotypical barn. It's, I want to call it a silo, but let's just say something brown and made of wood, and then it has a ramp. Very big. And then I just saw the tanks coming out of it like that, coming out of it like that. And then they would come out, and then some of them would go right, and then some of them would go left, and then they would drive until they get to the highway, and then they began to deploy along the highways. Whatever it is that is going to happen in this country, we need to understand that the tanks will be in position already. So I'm not familiar with the way the military does things. I don't know if the military sits in one part of the country, and then when something happens, they have to drive all the way from there and go to all the different parts, or if they have, yeah, they do have bases, but I don't know if they have, for instance, tanks at all the bases. What I know is that these tanks are not coming from the military bases. These tanks are in the various locations. I didn't see them so much in rural areas, but definitely in areas that we live in, cities. Urban areas. These tanks are already in the urban areas, hiding in what looks like brown barns. Now, it might be simple gray cement buildings, but whenever the Lord is showing me barns, he's simply showing me stored up. This is a place that is stored up. This is a place that has been kept up, because normally in barns, we store resources. We store our animals there. We store feed. We store grain. We store harvest. Barns are used to store what we need. But what the U.S. government is doing is that they have locations all across the country where they have put the tanks. And when they do the thing that they're going to do, all of a sudden, the tanks are just going to be rolling out like that. That's how I saw them. They were just coming down this little ramp, one, two, three, four, in a very toy-like formation. That's how God was showing it. Coming out like military toys, and then some going left and some going right. And what they were doing is seeking the fastest way to get on the highway. And then they will just spread out through the suburbs. They will spread out through the ordinary neighborhoods. So that's what I saw. The soldiers were far more than the police presence. And because of their numbers, and because of their demeanor, and also because of the fact that their weapons were very prominent, these men are going to be holding things that we usually only see in the movies. We see their weapons in the movies, the kind that they show us anyway, but they're going to be holding it right there in front of your child that you've been protecting from violence all your life and things like that. And just the fact that we don't see them every day, the soldiers were definitely predominating on the intimidation factor that was coming across to us in the street. I'm telling you now, you've watched Call of Glory, and you've watched Saving Private Ryan, and you've watched everything that Hollywood has made, and you think that you are a very tough man, but you are not. Because when you are confronted by these men who will not speak to you, who will not answer any questions, if you've never had a USGI standing there and you ask him something and then he does this, the slow turn with the mirrored glasses, the mirrored military sunglasses, if you've never had that man turn from whatever he was looking at and turn to look at you like you are the last roach that escaped the raid, then you're going to find out in the future, and you're going to feel that small, because they're not going to relate with you the way TV has told you. TV has told you that Bucko and Buddy Boy are your friends. They're the cavalcade. They're the cavalry. They're the saviors. They're the boys. But when this government weapons up the boys against us and are told that we are the problem, that we are the, what's the military word, the target. It's no longer Al Jazeera and Al Fazir. It will be us, normal people in our homes, that will be getting all this flack from these people. And because the police are going to so want to support and impress these men, American police are going to be excessively, even more gruff than they are now, excessively trigger happy, excessively aggressive, because they're going to think, well, the soldiers are here and we've got to show them that we're not soft. It's going to be a very dangerous kind of situation. And the reason I'm making this clear is so that those who have ears to listen will begin to understand that clarity is not meant to induce fear. Obviously, if you're hearing something that you're unused to, yes, you might feel fear. The clarity is actually God's way of telling you, it's time to put your trust in me, because you can't outrun a bullet. And it's time to put your trust in me because you've got great medical coverage, but medical coverage will be difficult to be happy about if somebody puts the butt of a gun against your cheek and breaks your jaw because you didn't know when to stop talking or you didn't know not to talk to those people. So soldiers were out, police were supporting them, and the soldiers were wearing some kind of distinctive, very heavy gray armor that doesn't look like cloth. So it might be cloth, but it's cloth over some kind of hard thing. So it's either the hard thing is on top or it's cloth over a hard thing that they're wearing on the side with a small American flag on the chest part, gray war helmets, and just some kind of unfamiliar blocky armor that was part of their uniform, mirrored sunglasses, and a very cold attitude. And there was also, as I said, the presence of weapons. Guns will be everywhere. That's what I was seeing. In this dream, I was walking. I don't know if the bus system was working, the train system was working, but the Lord just working. The Lord just had me walking. The military had their guns out everywhere. When they say bristling with weapons, that's what it was like. I saw many roadblocks. The roadblocks will be quite frustrating, especially if you're driving. Roadblocks everywhere. You just go a couple blocks, there's another roadblock. Where are you going? Where are you coming from? That kind of thing. I saw armored vehicles, tanks. I saw there were multiple sirens going off. So I don't know if this is because of maybe a fire alarm or police cars driving by, but there was just sirens going off. You know that kind of scene, like after there's been an explosion in the movies, how they'll just have the siren going off and the smoke and the person is all confused and everything like that. Lots of stuff going on, and definitely public announcement systems going all the time. This is not a test. Please refrain from being in the streets if you don't have to. I didn't see them stopping people because I was in the streets. There was a lot of people in the streets. So I was outside. It wasn't lockdown where you can't come outside like during COVID. And it was so nerve-wracking. I'm telling you now, it was so nerve-wracking. It was rough to be suddenly caught up in a system like that. And I was walking around because I don't have a car and I don't know if the metro system was working or not, but I was just walking through the streets. And what was happening is that as I was walking through the streets, I saw a ton of dazed people. People were so dazed. People didn't know if it was Tuesday or January the 4th. They had nowhere to start, nowhere to begin. And this is because people in this country are so coddled. People in America actually think that bad luck, having your way of life upended, being attacked, these are all things that in the American psyche happen to other people. So we sit here and we watch, and life happens to Syria, life happens to Cuba, life happens to everybody else. But here, there's this pervasive belief that life cannot be touched. And yet beneath that, there's a tiny contingent of people who know. This is usually older people. Older people have put their life experience to use. And older people, at least the ones who write me, they always tell me, Celestial, I'm sad to hear what you're saying, but I'm not surprised because I'm 60 this year's old. I'm 70 this year's old. And I knew that the penny has to drop sometime. And so older people, that class has sense. That class knows that you can't just go around the world bombing people for your entire career and then get to die in bed. This nation, the United States of America, is not going to die in bed. So as much as people want to think that she will come to her old age and then she will die in bed, America will die in bloody battle and bombs and repayment for every single evil that she has done. And the closer a person is to understanding and accepting that reality and beginning to craft for themselves a new personality, a new selfhood under that realization, the happier actually that person will be, because the happiest people on earth are people who walk and operate and live in the light of truth and not in the darkness of befuddlement and deception and God would never say that. These are the people I was seeing in the street. God wasn't showing me the people like myself who made peace in 2012, 2013, 2015 with what God was saying. And then since then, it's simply been putting on additional layers of whatever preparedness that my soul can work on. No, the people I was seeing in the dream were dazed. They were shell-shocked. They were terrified. They could not process what was going on. And yet at the same time, I had the feeling that what had happened was recent. It had recently happened. I was seeing people just in the aftermath of this thing, but I wasn't seeing them like the day of. So I wasn't seeing them the day that we will all be surprised when we're watching the TV and then that yellow line. We all know the infamous yellow line. The yellow line is breaking news. Breaking news, so-and-so has died. Breaking news, so-and-so has bombed so-and-so place. Casualties are this many. Breaking news, an earthquake has just broken this country in half. It wasn't that day, and it wasn't the day after, and it wasn't even the week of. I felt like maybe this thing was maybe 2 weeks to even a month or a little longer on, but people could not absorb what had happened. They were not coping well at all. Many breakdowns and just people wandering, and you can see on their face what is happening, what is happening. So imagine something is a month in, 6 weeks in, and you're still outside with that face, that what is happening face. What do you think is happening? What is TV telling you is happening? What do the guns tell you is happening? The tank is outside the Walmart. The guy with the bullhorn, keep it moving, one glass of milk each or whatever. What are your senses and reality telling you is happening, and what is happening with you that you will not be able, whoever these people are, and there's millions of them, to absorb what is taking place? And so I saw them, and this one question kept coming out of my mouth, and I found it so curious. But when I woke up, God was just making it clearer to me. I saw people wandering around, they were just staring at everything and they were trying to get it and they weren't getting it. But I, having got it, was asking them this curious question: how exposed were you? How exposed were you? So I'm not talking about exposed to radiation. I said, what did they get on you? What did they get on you? What, before this happened, what did these people get on you? Why did you expose yourself? And to what extent did you expose yourself? Didn't you know that these people would find out everything about you? So I was asking basically Americans, how exposed were you online? What was your exposure like online? Did you have your whole family history online? Did you go and post your ancestry.com 23andMe, I'm half Irish and partly frog results online? Did you have your house address online? What did you have online? How exposed were you before this happened? I was asking the women, why did you expose yourself? Why were you posting yourself in a bikini everywhere? Don't you know that it's men who monitor the internet all day long? Don't you know that it takes them only 5.5 seconds to reverse search your image and then from there find your house, your job, and your personal location? Why do you have all this information online? Why are you posting pictures of your new house? Why are you posting so many pictures of your children? Why is everything about you just online there for the government to take and use against you? So I'm asking these questions, and nobody was in a state to answer me. Nobody could really answer me because people just were not generally in a state to talk. So after trying to get information out of them and failing, I would just leave the one I was talking to and keep going on my journey until I met another person. And I was very frustrated in this dream, not so much because of what had happened, but because most of the people I met were in such a hopeless state. Sad, hopeless, depressed, crying, stressed out, male and female. They could barely express themselves. You stop and talk to a person and they're just like, what's going on? Do you have any idea why they're doing this? And you're basically looking at the aftermath of a country that has not prepared for something that is surely coming to them. If you've been coming to this channel, you know why this is coming. This is coming because God says that an unrighteous people must be left in the hands of their own unrighteous government so that unrighteous and unrighteous can fight it out in the unrighteous battle of the unrighteous. That is why it is coming. It is also coming for higher reasons that I will discuss in the second prophecy, but you can hear about it here. The higher reason that this will happen is that because America must be led into the beast system. If America will not be led into the beast system, then the people that have already made commitments on the side, beast system coming up, yes, we've signed up. We'll be there. Count on us. We're coming and we're bringing our country with us. The Europeans have already been in the system. As you will hear in the second prophecy, the Lord just knows everything, and the way he puts that knowledge together, it never fails to surprise me. These system elements are already at work in many, many other places around the world, but here it has been solidly organic U.S. And now the beast system architects in the United States are frustrated because they are late for a very important date. They have to get to Revelation 13. They're late for Revelation 13. They're late to also throw in their chips, throw in their cap to Satan, who is going to empower his beast, who will rise from the sea of people. All that stuff is behind because of the resistance and recalcitrance of the United States. This love for freedom and the flag and a barbecue and a beer and the this amendment and that amendment and the guns, it has got to stop. And the reason that God is not going to stop it is because last time I checked, Revelation 13 is in the Bible. That means that it has to be fulfilled. It's not going to stop because the people who don't want to participate in Revelation 13, all nations are going to participate in Revelation 13. Everybody's going to do roll call. It's just that America's roll call is going to have to be hard impacted because she can't be tricked. She can't be tricked into the money system. She can't be tricked into giving up her weapons like Canada and Australia have done. She can't be tricked into a lot of things. It's not that the people are so astute. It is actually that the people are so stubborn and so dead set on their rights. This nation is built off of the love of rights. Who can have rights and who cannot have rights and who can never take away certain rights? And because of that, nothing but a hard reset, nothing but a hard impact will work to bring about Revelation 13 here. And so people were broken. People were hopeless. People had no context. People had no sense of how to respond. And because of that, obviously, they weren't going to talk to me about what steps they could have taken in the past and what could they have done better to protect their online identity and things like that. All they wanted to know from me is, why is America like this? Why has America gone under this obvious military lockdown? And why has it happened in such an obvious, scary way? When this thing that I'm talking about happens, it's never going to creep up on us of a soft midnight. When this thing I'm talking about happens, it's literally going to happen in our faces. There is no way to hide that you're going to put tanks in the street. And in the past, in one of these live prophecies, I think, I was talking about how America is going to end up looking just like France did. There was a time when France went through this exact situation that I'm talking about, and the UK too. There was a time when bombs kept going off in that place. Bombs kept going off in that place. And then the French were told, listen, for safety's sake, because We don't know where the next bomb is going to go off, but let us put some soldiers on the street, and let us put some military here, and let's have some tanks, and let's have some guns, and let's have some this. And for a brief moment, because of what? Because of fear, the French people agreed to that. The French people said, yes, yes, of course, put them there. But then after a while, being French and also being extremely married to their rights, they began to protest against the government and say, listen, when are these soldiers going back? Because the soldiers belong in the barracks. The soldiers don't belong on the streets of Paris and all the other places. This is actually government overreach. You're overstaying your welcome. The Constitution says this, and you're not allowed to do that. And they began to protest, and they began to push back, and eventually the president had to cave, quite reluctantly, it seemed, and he pulled the military off the streets. So America is going to end up just like that. I said that a few years ago, that America, you're going to go through your France period as well. The government was not talking to us as it should have been, meaning that nobody was appearing behind that blue background to say, my fellow Americans, the reason that the guys are out there is because of A and B and C. They were not being overly communicative. And because this was a dream, I just wrote it down. But then this exact thing appears in the message the Lord gave me on February the 24th, which was yesterday. They were not talking to us as usual. They were not making any effort to be transparent about what was happening. And so all we had to go on was what we could see. We could see the increased military presence. We could see the heavy police presence. We could definitely see all the different types of guns on the street. We could see the dogs. Dogs will be freely used in this time period. We could see the dogs everywhere. We heard the bullhorn and the public service announcements regularly. We were seeing the soldiers at all the checkpoints, and so it was impossible to miss. But people could not discuss this. And this is the disconnect that many will face going into the future. People who are sitting here, people who are listening, whether you know it or not, you will be shocked to find that you will have something like a pillow in your heart at the time it happens. I'm not saying that you will not feel the initial fear. I'm not saying that you will not feel the initial shock. Just because God has told you doesn't mean that you are cut off from realizing the reality of a thing when it happens. What you will have is the buffer of knowledge that comes with accepting and understanding where we are and where the Holy Spirit says we are going. You will not need to be dragged kicking and screaming into the beast system. So that means that your chances of getting shot on the street for getting into a pointless argument with a soldier are next to nothing. Like you have a 100% life expectancy rate in an altercation with a soldier because you already sat here and heard not to altercate with soldiers. Somebody else, Mr. Gun Polisher or Mr. Liberal Arts Professor, even though that's highly unlikely that such a person would do that, but somebody else who is being taken by surprise. So somebody else who's been drinking all the Kool-Aid on CNN and Fox News and World News America. Somebody else is right there at the bottom of the totem pole in being able to process this without being stressed, without being depressed, without being extremely angry, without being extremely filled with rage. When a person is filled with rage, crisis response goes right down. It plummets. Sound responses, right choices, right out the window, because that's what anger does. That's what fear does. That's what stress does. It ruins your crisis response. And so these are some of the shields that God is giving his people. This is why the Bible will say things like, I think it's in Isaiah somewhere, where it says, enter into your rooms, my people, and hide yourselves. When you hear God saying something like, enter into your room, hide yourself, what he's telling you is that something is coming. He's not lying to you. He's not telling you that you're going to be carried away in the rapture. He's not telling you, oh, no, nothing will ever happen to you. He's not telling you, oh, no, I love you too much to hurt you. He's saying, no, things are about to be released. Those things are going to be very hard. They're going to be very deadly. And my best location for you is to be in your room, which is a safe location, a place of hiding. So many people think that the safe place that God is going to put them away from the things I'm talking about is in the rapture. God isn't putting anybody in any rapture. I'm talking about real life things that are unfolding that have only taken 4 years to unfold. I've been talking about this new America since 2019. A Dream of a New America. I think that's the name of one of the prophecies. It's actually called A Vision of America. And I was saying the same thing. I was saying that these cops are coming who are going to beat you until your bone doesn't bend this way. It bends the other way. You meet up with those men. You take yourself and talk about this matters and that matters, and I'm going to protest and I'm going to stand up. Those people are not chatty. Those men, those cops in the black, the new military cops that will come, not the blue cap wearing. No, those men will beat you until your bone is in a new formation and nobody will sue them. You will get zero compensation. You will not go after their bond. None of the things that you are learning on Facebook and TikTok are going to work. Those men will not be going to jail. It will just you either go to the hospital or the morgue because they will have full license of the government to beat, to scatter, to break all the amendments, to break the whole Constitution if necessary, and nothing is going to happen to them. No rapture is coming to interrupt that trajectory. So if you're not able to absorb what's coming, see the difficulty that you'll be in. And so the government was quiet. We were seeing obvious signs. And because people were not able to process, people were not even able to talk or think, many times as I was asking them my questions, I was just forced to abandon the exercise. And I left them and I would just keep going until I met the next one. What were you doing online before this? How exposed were you? Why did you have all your information out there? Why were you so careless? And now here are the things that the Lord added when I woke up and I was now putting the dream down on paper. Said the government will be very intimidating in America. This nation is going into military lockdown in the future. It has already been planned and it's going to happen. The USA will become a full war government. Now, I guess that means what it says. Every government is different in times of war than in times of peace. In times of peace, all the civil rights for sure are in full operation. The judicial system is the normal one and things like that. But in war, many emergency provisions are either written for the first time or the old ones that worked in the last war are invoked. And so God was telling me that America will become a full war government. America is going to have a military government that has unlimited power to use emergency law. That is martial law. The government that we're going to have in the future will have unlimited power to use emergency law, martial law, due to the circumstances that we will be living under. And so the circumstances will inform how the government behaves and the type of legal system that we're operating on. God says that America will definitely experience wartime conditions and the peculiar type of government that goes along with it. He also said that we will have military tribunals here, and that is what normal citizens will go to. Military tribunals are strictly for the military. So the Army have theirs, and I guess the Air Force have theirs, and the Navy have theirs, and all of them have their soldier jail. I don't think soldiers go to real jail. I think they go to soldier jail, and I think soldiers have trials at military tribunals. But God says that normal citizens are going to go to military tribunals as well. The judiciary will be completely suspended at that time. We will not have normal system of checks and balances in the laws. And the legal system will be military and not civilian. We will also have checkpoints. We will have curfews. We will have roadblocks. We will have quarantines. We will have unlawful search and seizure. We will have unlawful detention. We will have indefinite detention. We will have trial without representation. We will have a sharp curtailment of all human rights all around by using the circumstances prevailing at that time as a reason to shift the country in a new direction. So checkpoints, you're moving from point A to point B. You will either be stopped and asked for a reason, or as I have described here in the past, I think the prophecy is called Nazis and something. It's a prophecy from 2020 or 2021. I think it's 2020. America is going to be divided. So I've been bringing that word since 2021, that America is going to be divided by checkpoints. America is also going to be divided by borders. Right now, we just have state lines. You just get to the state line, and I guess you just crossed or whatever. America is going to be divided, as in Minnesota will be one little country that's different from Vermont, which is different from New Jersey, which is different from Pennsylvania, which is different from Virginia. It's literally going to be like little countries inside the continent locked up. And I explained in one video that what I saw is when this new world government comes in, it's going to be America has a big outside border keeping her, let's say, from Mexico, from Canada, from everywhere else, an outside border. But then between two states, the two states might say, I don't want to have free passage. So the two states will then borderize themselves inside, which means that you could have New Jersey and New York right next to each other. And due to state choice, this is inside the beast system now, when the beast system actually happens, due to the choices of the state, we're inside the bigger border. And then inside the bigger border, these two states decide to border up as well. And you will now need papers. You will now need special identification papers to cross from the two as if you're crossing between two separate countries. But at the time that the government does this, they will just be using checkpoints to do that division. And they did that in COVID because New York was so filled with COVID. I think that other states were stopping people with New York licenses from going in. They were being turned back. And so curfews is giving a special time to go to bed. And this will probably be a blanket time where you have to be in the house. You have to be in the house by a certain time. And they might only make exceptions for maybe emergency services, exceptions for doctors and things like that, exceptions for the police and the firefighters. Anything that is not an emergency, you will have to be at home at a certain time. And the way curfews work is you also can't come out of the house until a certain time in the morning. Roadblocks, pretty close to checkpoints, except a roadblock is, it doesn't necessarily need to be at a border point. A roadblock can be set up anywhere. So this is something happens, you want to flee your area, they set up a roadblock, and then they'll be telling you, turn back, go back to your home, stay back to your home. You can also use a roadblock to do exactly what I'm going to say next. You can use a roadblock to quarantine. You can set up roadblocks at all the entrances to, for instance, a very big apartment complex, or you can use it to set up roadblocks to lock off an entire subdivision, and then all the people in that subdivision will have to stay there. They won't be able to drive out. There'll be no way to get out, you know. And then the next thing he said we will see is quarantines. This is definitely related to diseases. And in wartime, please understand that your rights are suspended. And the reason they're suspended is for national security and also the smaller national security, which is called socially, it's called for the greater good, for the greater good. So they'll say that there's an outbreak of this disease, you look a bit flu-y, your temperature is wrong, and you could say, no, but I was running to catch the train, and that's why I'm warm. And they'll say, well, we don't believe you. You look like you're coming down with this brand new thing that we just invented or discovered, and they quarantine you. They lock you up. Unlawful search and seizure. The government will have power to make up a crime, accuse you of the crime, and then come and search you and then plant evidence on you if they're really good and if you're not watching out. And then they will say, aha, we've searched you without a warrant, and then we seized this thing that we actually brought in our own backpack. And that is definitely, by now, you are just basically getting the picture that dangerous times are coming, and dangerous times are best lived through by wise people who are very prayerful, wise people who are listening with all their heart, wise people who understand that the spirit of fear is not given unto the children of God, and therefore those wise people need to do deep dives into the Lord's presence. No one is getting through the end times without God's presence. I don't care what religion you are at the time that you are watching or not watching this video. Not a single soul is getting through the book of Revelation until that soul has bowed its knee and confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, and has repented of all their sins, has bowed their neck and humbled themselves in submission to Christ Jesus. If you have
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.